Well, last week, Pastor Ingrid shared an awesome message with us on Isaiah about how God, the same God that speaks about all the correction to Israel, also is the God of comfort. And it's not that he changes his mind or his attitude about things. He changes his tone. Instead of saying, I'm bringing correction in a moment, he's now saying, after this correction will come comfort. This correction is here to bring about a contrite heart amongst the people of Israel. And I want to comfort you in saying, my correction is going to work, Israel, and this is what's going to happen. This is how I'm going to come and redeem and restore things in you. We read in Isaiah 43 this. It says, now this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and the rivers will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, and the flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. As we read that last Sunday, right, we're in this section of Isaiah where God is speaking to when he will restore Israel from their rebellion. And his tone changed from confrontation to comforting assurance. The do not fear, the I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name and I will be with you. You will not be scorched. All words of presence, God being with them, of comfort. And Isaiah 43 is rather clear. God's redemption of Israel is because he alone is a God who redeems, not because of how good they are or have been towards him. Grace, it isn't opposed to hard work, but it is opposed to earning. And so while we can't earn God's redeeming power in our lives, today we'll explore that for Israel to embrace God's story of redemption and for us to embrace that story of redemption, there are two things that we have to do kind of at the same time that sound like the opposite. So we'll get it. You'll understand what I'm saying in a second here. We read in chapter 43, it says this, but Jacob, you have not called on me, because Israel, you have become weary of me. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings or wearied you with incense. You have not brought me an aromatic cane with silver or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am the one. I sweep away your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more. Remind me. Let's argue the case together. Recount the facts so that you may be vindicated. Your first father sinned and your mediators have rebelled against me. So I defiled the officers of the sanctuary and set Jacob apart for destruction and Israel for scorn. When Israel had forgotten or chosen not to call on God, not to worship God in the way they should with their sacrifices of worship, he knows all things. He knows the condition of their hearts. And the consequences of their actions have fallen upon them at this point in history. Destruction and scorn is what they now know. And the God who doesn't forget their actions, doesn't forget what they've done, chooses to remember your sins no more. And yet, this is not ignorance or indifference or denial or ducking reality, because this is the way it works. Redemption involves us forgetting. Now, if you think about it, if until you forget, your spiritual enemy will use what you did or happened to you as a tool of condemnation over and over again in your life. Maybe you did something, and until you forget about it, The enemy will keep using it against you. Oh, you know what you did. You know that you stumbled in this. You know that you fell in this place. You know that you cheated. You looked at something you shouldn't have looked at. You've had issues with drugs. You are always getting in debt and spending too much. You're overeating. You're gossiping. You're all these things that happen or we do or maybe have happened to us. We remember them and they're there in our heads and that story is just sitting on repeat, isn't it? That song just repeats over and over. This is who you are. This is what happens to you. What happened to you is going to happen again. We hear it over and over again because the enemy's desire is to see us stuck. Stuck in habits, stuck in self-condemnation, stuck in thinking that God requires something from you that you'll never be able to give. He requires a standard of holiness that you cannot give him. And if we speak plainly about this, the enemy never wants you to walk in the redemptive work that God desires for you. And how he keeps you from walking redeemed is by never letting you forget what you did or what happened. And sometimes we do that to ourselves. We buy into it ourselves by saying that very thing. I will never forget what they did to me. Or condemning ourselves by saying, you'll always be such a whatever, loser. You'll always be whatever. We condemn ourselves by saying we're never going to forget that this is what we are or this is what happened to us. But what we are talking about when we talk about forgetting is a God who uses that word differently than we would. Because logic would ask us, how can a God who's omniscient, who remembers all things, knows all things from the beginning of time to the end of time, he knows it all. It's all exposed to him. How could he ever forget it? Because we read in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Or Hebrews 8, 12 to 28, in there it says, for I will forgive their wrongdoing and I will never again remember their sins. Again, forgetting isn't indifference, ignorance. It's not ducking reality or denial or irresponsibility. It's something different altogether. Have you ever been in a fight with someone and where you forgive each other, but maybe you're still having a hard time letting go of what happened, right? That's a scenario most of us can understand. We've been in a position, whether it was that we both mutually forgive each other or you forgive somebody or they forgive you, but you have a hard time letting it go. Somebody's offended you or hurt you and you've got barriers and walls up because you're like, I can't handle that again. And so there becomes this space in between that you can't remove because you can't forget what's been done. When somebody hurts you, until you let it go, it isn't gone. It's still present, still filling your mind, your emotions, your actions. And forgetting isn't pretending that the conflict didn't happen. Instead, it's choosing to remember the forgiveness exchanged is greater than the offense that occurred. Now, that's a tough one for us to often understand, and it leads us into our second specific thing we need to walk in redemption. So we forget things, but to forget is to remember something greater and act in accordance with the greater. So there's forgetting and remembering. See how they seem like they're kind of contradictory? I'm going to forget something to remember something. And this is precisely what God is doing in Isaiah 43. Right before Isaiah prophesies that God will remember your sins no more, listen to what he said. He said, this is what the Lord said, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the raging water, who brings out the chariot and the horses and the army and the mighty one together. They lie down and they do not rise again. They are extinguished, put out like a wick. Do not remember the past events and pay no attention to things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. As long as you keep looking at the old, you will not see the new. Darkness wants us to never forget. And to forget, God wants us to remember something greater. And on a deeper layer, God is so very gracious and also just and holy. Because when we talk about forgiveness, about deep hurt and pains that have happened to us, it's like, what do I do with that? There's a justice piece needed in there. I can't just let go when justice needs to be brought about over this harm and this hurt. Human forgetting often implies a loss of awareness, like it just never happened, whereas God forgetting our sins is a deliberate act of grace. It's not a lapse of in his omniscience. Similarly, for humans, forgetting past wrongs, whether one's own or others, doesn't mean erasing memory, but choosing to act in love and mercy as God does. This forgetting is an active, transformative process rooted in faith, where the memory of Christ's forgiveness empowers us as believers to live differently, free from condemnation. Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And in no way to belittle being a victim of terrible wrongs by others, forgiving is a path to move beyond victimhood, to move beyond condemnation to freedom. We embrace this because God himself doesn't hold on to victimhood from the grievous sins that we have committed against him. Instead, he chooses the loving path of forgiveness. And this is where the book of Isaiah pushes deeper into the greater something that humanity requires. God himself. Isaiah prophesies of God sending hope to Israel through a Messiah. In the words of Joanna Kimbrell, who puts it this way, "But what of his holiness? Does the Lord abandon justice for the sake of mercy? Does he overlook wickedness and let it go unavenged? No, not at all. We serve a God whose memory is erased at the sound of, we don't serve a God whose memory is erased at the sound of human confession. Instead, we serve a God who sees the sin that hides in the dark corners of our hearts as bright as midday, yet who chooses to offer us mercy in Jesus. We serve a Savior who knows us fully and still loves us deeply, even to the point of death. We have a far greater hope than a God who forgets. Our hope is in a God who forgives. We forget by remembering in Christ that we are forgiven. And as a foreshadow to Jesus is coming, we listen to what Isaiah says in verse chapter 44. He says, "Remember these things, Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant, Israel. You will never be forgotten by me. I've swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Rejoice, heavens, for the Lord has acted. Shout, depths of the earth. Break out into singing, mountains, forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorifies himself through Israel." To allow God's story of redemption in Christ to fully unfold in your story, at some point you need to simultaneously forget and remember. You need to forget the old self by remembering that you are a new creation. You need to forget the sin that so easily entangles by remembering that God always provides a way out. You need to forget everything that disqualifies you from being united with Christ and remember that He has paid it all. And then sometimes, just as hard, you need to forget what others have done to us by remembering that forgiveness is greater than the offense. When we feed ourselves on unforgiveness, it entraps us and we are bound to the offense. And when we forgive, we step into a new reality. God chooses to operate in the way of God, when we choose to operate in the way of God, who declares, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." When we choose to live in forgiveness, to live out our forgiveness, we change the atmosphere around us. We create a divide between the truth of God's loving forgiveness and offense. One more time. To forget is to remember something greater and act in accordance with the greater. So we can forget by remembering in Christ that we are forgiven. Forgiven in Christ alone is a forever greater act. Forgiven in Christ alone is God being both merciful and just. Forgiven in Christ alone is God not acting towards us as we deserve, but acting in accordance with what Jesus provided, and not by how strongly you punish yourself. Today, do you need to forget by remembering in Christ that you are forgiven? Today, do you need to forgive someone? Do you need to embrace forgiving as a more powerful act than remembering what's happened to you? Today, as the service ends, I want to invite you to the altar. The front here will be open as the service ends for you to experience a God who forgets and forgives. Because we want to see you have freedom in Him, even from the things that hold us back. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful to you for your graciousness towards us. That we were still far from you, dead in our sin, you loved us and provided a way for us to be with you through your Son. You offer us forgiveness of things that we could never pay you back for, we could never make amends for. And in your grace, you embrace us, forgive us, so that it's like our sins never happened because of the righteousness of your Son. So God, help us embrace that for ourselves. And in embracing it for ourselves, the power of your forgiveness in our lives to break every chain in our lives. God, help us also to turn to others and offer forgiveness as well. To see forgiveness is greater than the offense, that the power that's held in forgiveness sets people free. Because who your Son sets free is free indeed. And we want to forgive as we've been forgiven. Thank you. We embrace it and we open ourselves to your forgiveness, to live that out and allow forgetting offense by remembering the greater act of forgiveness.